Chapter 3. Lying in bed that night, my thoughts kept jumping from Valerie to Denver to the old-timers game. I was almost certain that Knowles didn't suspect anything, but the whole thing was just a little ironic. The Minor Hockey Association was about to launch their Say No campaign using an entire hockey team addicted to sinus minus. What would Valerie say if she knew? The synchronized skating team may own CoverGirl, but I was pretty sure that was the extent of their involvement in pharmaceuticals. And then there was the question of Denver. We couldn't very well go through customs with all these little bags of white powder in our suitcases. I supposed it might be available in the States, but how was I going to manage the buying and distribution? The whole thing was crazy, absolutely crazy. I had to do something. Somehow, I had to wean the team off sinus minus. I studied the ceiling for an extra long time that night, but by the time I finally dozed off, I was none the wiser, only more exhausted. I do remember hitting the snooze button, or at least I think I do, but I certainly remember Lee shaking me. Joel, it's 8:15, you're going to be late. I sat up, took one look at the clock, and bounded out of bed. I'll drop you off, Lee called from the hallway. I doused my head under the cold water and stared at my sunken eyes in the mirror, wondering if I shouldn't take a dose of sinus minus every night. Somehow I had to find a cure for this insomnia, and it had better be before exams. Lee's dropped me off at the front doors of the school. I really think you ought to try and get to bed early tonight, Joel, she said. I waved my half-eaten apple in her direction and headed to the office for a late slip. Just as I was about to push the door, it flew open and Valerie ran smack into me. We've got to stop running into each other like this, I said, grinning. She stepped back into the office. Sorry, I'm late for health. Yeah, me too. English, I mean. I let the door close behind me. Valerie did not try to leave. Sleep in? She shook her head. No, we had an early practice this morning and the buses were slow. She stood watching me as I filled out the late slip. You guys are really good. I ripped the slip in half and passed one to the secretary. I've never seen synchronized skating before. So you know what it is. I thought hockey was the only thing on ice that you guys understood. We don't even understand that all the time, I admitted. We left the office together, having lost any urgency to get to class. You know, I had no idea you were a skater, since I was 7. I studied her profile, her long eyelashes and glistening lips. Coach Knowles told us that you have a shot at the provincial title. She chewed on her bottom lip. This weekend, but we have some real tough competition. I don't know. We stood silently at the bottom of the steps. A thousand things ran through my head. I debated about asking her to the Christmas dance, but somehow it didn't seem like the right time. Instead, I said, just think, you're going to be a provincial champ next time I see you. Valerie smiled at me, a long, genuine smile that wrapped itself around me. Then she turned and climbed the stairs. I watched her until she was out of sight and then tried to take stock of my feelings. It wasn't like I was ecstatic or anything. I didn't feel like turning cartwheels down the hallway, but I had this incredible, warm, contented feeling that stayed with me all morning. That wonderful feeling might have lasted all day, except Ryan had some bad news for me at lunch. We were sitting in the cafeteria, eating our sandwiches and drinking chocolate milk with a bunch of the Falcons. Scott and Theo were checking out a table of girls on the left. The one in red, said Scott, glancing over his shoulder. Now, she's hot. Theo snickered. Sure is, he agreed. That's Candy Goodman, he paused for effect, Bill Reed's girlfriend. Scott slammed his fist on the table. Just my luck. Bill Reed was the center on the senior basketball team, tall, well-built, and incredibly good-looking. Justin elbowed me in the ribs. So how about you, Switzen? Gonna ask someone to the dance? I pondered that thought. Perhaps I should have done it just this morning. I glanced at the date on my watch. The dance was 2.5 weeks away. Maybe, I said, shrugging my shoulders. Valerie was one topic Ryan and I had managed to keep ourselves, and right now I wanted it to stay that way. And who might that be? Asked Justin. I shrugged and changed the subject. Don't forget the meeting tonight, I said. Big game on Saturday. You bet, agreed Red, nodding his mane of long red hair. The Cadillacs are never easy. They're on a winning streak right now, too, Tony advised us. Won their last 10 games. Yeah, well, so are we, retorted Jared. The Cadillacs were arch rivals. Chances are we'd face them in the city playoffs this year. They were last year's champs and fierce competitors. Everyone had something to say about them, everyone except Ryan. He sat sipping his chocolate milk, looking off into the distance. I slid over to sit beside him. "Found yourself a hot date for the dance?" I asked, following his gaze. Ryan squashed his milk carton. "Nah," he glanced at the rest of the guys. "Wanna take a walk?" he asked under his breath. We slipped away and ambled in the general direction of the gymnasium. I waited for him to spill his news, but it was a long time coming. After 10 minutes of feigning interest in the intramural volleyball game, he gave me the bad news. "I can't make it to the meeting tonight," he said. I felt my body tense up. "Dad's gotta go out of town." I knew that meant that Ryan had to be home with his mom. Since she'd come home from the hospital in late October, the doctor's advice had been not to leave her home alone. Mr. Davis had hired a daytime companion for her, an older motherly type who bustled around doing housework and talking to Ryan's mom like she was perfectly normal, but she only worked until 5:30. After that, either Ryan or his dad had to be around. It hadn't been easy for Ryan. His mom still had the odd good day, but usually she was a real zombie. She hardly ate, and she looked like you could break her in two with your bare hands. And I hadn't heard her speak since she'd come back from the hospital. "Don't worry about it," I said reassuringly. "I'll drop the stuff off on my way to the meeting." Ryan shook his head. "Don't bother. I'm not going to be able to make the game on Saturday either. Dad's away on business." I stared at him. "The game?" I echoed. "He was our leading goal scorer, and we were playing the Cadillacs. Can't Mrs. Hitchings come in for a few hours? It's not like it's late or anything." "She's going to her niece's wedding." My mind raced. We couldn't face the Cadillacs without Ryan. "What about your dad? Couldn't he get an earlier flight back?" "He's gone until Sunday night." I ran my hands over my face. "Geez, Rye, there's got to be some way you can be there." "We can't leave Mom with someone she doesn't know. Dad can't be there. Mrs. Hitchings can't be there. So I guess that leaves me." He leaned back against the wall, his eyes lifeless. I slumped back beside him. "Have you told Coach Knowles yet?" Ryan shook his head. "I'll have to call him." I closed my eyes and tried to imagine someone else besides Ryan taking the face off on my line. We knew each other so well, read each other's moves with such ease, and lately everything had been clicking like clockwork. Now, just when we had to face the Cadillacs, this had to happen. "Can't you get out of it?" I whined, feeling guilty as soon as the words were out of my mouth. "No," Ryan said decisively. "You guys can do it without me, but she can't." He pushed the door open and left. Of course, he couldn't get out of it. This wasn't some early morning practice we were talking about. This was his mother. I banged my head against the concrete. Sometimes I could be such an idiot. Ryan was already gone by the time I reached my locker after school. To make matters worse, I missed the bus and had to wait 20 minutes. I was in a pretty foul mood by the time I got home and found the entire back entrance stacked full of Revivites. I kicked my shoes off and dropped my jacket on the top of a bunch of boxes just as Lee's, looking flustered and exhausted, came up the stairs with 3 more boxes. "There you are," she said. "I could use a strong set of arms." "Forget it," I muttered and trudged into the kitchen. She stared after me. "Bad day at school?" I stuffed a cookie in my mouth, poured a glass of milk, and glared at her. She raised her eyebrows, brushed my coat off in the tower of boxes with her elbow, and deposited more Revivites on the tower. "Hey," I said, raising my voice and retrieving my jacket. "You could try hanging it up for a change." I waved it in her face. "And you could try getting a real job for a change." I grabbed my knapsack and jacket, stomped upstairs, and flopped down onto my unmade bed. 15 minutes later, I opened up my social studies text and tried to concentrate. Downstairs, I could hear Lee's shifting boxes around. I did have a valid point. She'd been through dozens of home sale products, and none of them had ever really been a success. Not that she had to work or anything. Dad made good money, but he deserved it working the hours he did. I started in on my homework and made some progress. I was still working when Lee's knocked on the door. "I've got a block watch meeting tonight," she called, "but I've put a casserole in the oven for you. Your dad won't be home until late. He's taking a client to dinner." "Great," I called back, trying to keep the sarcasm out of my voice. Her casseroles were always an adventure. It wasn't that she was a bad cook, just that I never recognized anything she made. I guess Lee's figured that a 15-year-old kid would eat almost anything. She was right. I was just finishing up a quick plate of some linguine and pimento casserole when Lee's appeared in the kitchen. She had changed into a fluorescent green and white striped blouse, and I found myself hoping that the meeting was in a dark room. I rinsed my plate and stuck it in the dishwasher. "Do you want me to drop you off?" she asked. "Thanks," I said. "I'll just grab my jacket." At least she didn't hold grudges. I hustled upstairs where my jacket lay, both inside pockets stuffed with Ziploc bags ready to be dispersed after the pizza had been eaten. I pulled one of them out and shifted it to my outside pocket. I grabbed a novel above my bed and raced downstairs. "Would you mind making a quick detour to Ryan's?" I asked. "It's on the way and I have to drop this book off." Lee zipped up her coat. "Okay, want to grab that box behind you for me?" I swung around, my open jacket hitting the wall and the plastic Ziploc bag tumbling out onto the floor beside me. Lee bent down and picked it up. She ran her fingers across the top and turned it over in her hands. She held it by one corner and watched the fine white powder slide across the clear surface. I leaned back against the wall and closed my eyes. "Maybe we better have a little chat first," she said. "Honest," I said, looking at her directly in the eyes. "That's the truth." We were seated at the kitchen table with an open box of Sinus Minus and my jacket between us. Lee's was leafing through the plastic bags. I told her anything. Everything. All about Pete's party. Letting the hockey team in on it. Buying boxes of Sinus Minus. Distributing it. Everything. It was the only thing to do, and, in fact, the more I told her, the more I wanted to tell. It was such a relief to share this crazy secret with someone else. And I didn't even stop there. I told her how I knew I had to wean the team off of it, but didn't have the faintest idea how to do it. Lise didn't say anything, just listened until I couldn't talk anymore. Then she re-zipped the pockets and put her coat back on. "I'm late," she said simply. She laughed. "Sinus Minus, hey? Your dad's gonna hit the roof if this gets back to him." I cringed. That was an understatement. "Whatever you do, don't say anything to him, will you?" she continued. I stared at her in surprise. Wasn't that my line? She stood up and replaced Ryan's bag in my pocket. "Are you coming?" I nodded. Surely she wasn't just going to pretend this had never happened. After all, she was the one that had given it to me in the first place. She must have read my thoughts. I know I used to think it was a bit of a cure-all, Joel, but this is hardly the same thing. I know, I admitted, but what do I do with all this stuff? Give it to the guys, she said, handing the jacket to me. I slipped into my jacket and took the box she'd lifted into my arms. What? Give it to the guys as usual tonight, she said. I need time to think of a plan. We drove to Ryan's in silence, but I could tell she was thinking. I leaned back against the headrest and relaxed for the first time in ages. It was great to have someone else thinking for me for a change. Ryan met me at the door. I slid him the bag into the book and handed both to him. Figured I'd better drop this off tonight, I began awkwardly. We've got just another game on Tuesday. Ryan just nodded. From the doorway, I could see his mother sitting in the TV room. Ryan pocketed the bag. I owe you. I glanced at Mrs. Davis again. Never mind, I murmured and swallowed hard. Oh, what about what I said at lunch today? I didn't mean it the way it sounded. Ryan waved his hand. Forget it, he said. It's not important. But his eyes still had that same lifeless look. Did you call Knowles? Not yet. I stuffed my hands into my pockets and shuffled my feet. I guess I'd better... Just then, a loud, sorrowful wailing reached my ears. Ryan turned and ran back to his mother, who was now sobbing and gasping for breath. He knelt in front of her and tried to take her hand, but she continually pulled it away. I closed the front door behind me, her plaintive cries following me to Lee's car. As we drove, I studied Lee's out of the corner of my eye. She was definitely a little wacky, but anything had to be better than what Ryan was dealing with. He didn't say much about things at home, but I knew he wasn't looking forward to Christmas. It was the hockey that kept him going, the thrill of blasting the puck and seeing the light go on. The possibility, no matter how slim, of being scouted and making it to the big league someday. Lee's dropped me off at the pizza place. We'll talk tomorrow, she said, as I scrambled out of the car. I nodded, glad to have finally found a confidant, even if she was an unlikely choice. And talk we did. Lee's asked a lot of questions, even some that I never really thought about, like who were the leaders on the team, both on and off the ice. Well, Neil's the official captain, but it's Ryan that we all look to out on the ice when we're down. I said, and off the ice? Don't know, really. Scott's definitely got away with the girls, but Pete's the social organizer. The weekly meetings were his idea, and I suppose that lately I've been pretty influential because of the stuff. And you said that ever since the team started taking the sinus minus, they've played brilliantly? Yeah, I laughed. I know it's crazy, but it's true. Do you take it? I could feel the color creep into my face. But Coach Knowles doesn't know? No way, I said. He'd suspend the whole lot of us if he did. And these guys honestly believe it makes a difference. I nodded. Do you? Asked Lise. I avoided her eyes. How could a cold medication be performance-enhancing? And yet, I'd played so well this season. I know that it probably doesn't really do anything except maybe make you sleep better, but it does make a difference with the guys, Lise. I struggled to explain. It's like we've got this big secret, some sort of special ritual or something that pulls the team together. When we're on sinus minus, we just seem to click. We just know where the pass is going to be, what play the other guy's going to make, where to be, and when. Hockey players have a reputation for being superstitious, admitted Lise. I thought of James freaking out at the sight of the cross sticks in the dressing room before the last game and how Ryan always insisted on being the last player on the ice. Maybe that's what it is. I can't explain exactly. Lise swirled her coffee. And if you tried to do away with it, say if your supply just dried up? I grimaced. I've thought about that. But what if the guys fall apart? We're coming up to the Christmas tournament, and then there's this old-timers game, not to mention the Denver tournament. Denver? Who said anything about Denver? Coach Knowles, we've been invited to the Denver tournament at Easter. It's an invitation-only tournament, and it's kind of like the tournament of the year. I paused. I think you'll hear about it at the meeting on Monday. Oh, yes. Steve said something about that. Lise drained her coffee cup. And what's all this about an old-timers game? It's a game we're supposed to play against some old professional hockey players, part of a skating show to raise money for the Say No to Drugs campaign. Lise rolled her eyes. I know, I continued, just a little ironic, hey? She nodded. Anything else you haven't told me? Nah, I think that's it, except that I'm really worried about Ryan being back on drugs, especially with his mom the way she is now. Steve mentioned that. Is she worse? I thought about the last time I'd seen her, Ryan kneeling at her feet, his mother sobbing. I think so. He never really says much about her. And he takes the sinus minus, too? I nodded, feeling terribly guilty. We've got to do something, Lise. She leaned back in her chair. I know, Joel, she said seriously, and the first thing you've got to do is stop taking this stuff. I hesitated, wondering if it would hurt my game. Lise scowled at me. Okay, I agreed, but what about the other guys? Lise stared off into the distance. The way I see it, either the guys have to have a reason to want to get this stuff, or something has to replace sinus minus. Another drug? No, something else. Some other ritual or good luck charm that makes you guys a more cohesive team. Sounds good to me, but what? That, said Lise, rising to her feet, is the question. She deposited her mug in the sink and left the kitchen. I watched her go, wondering if she had an answer. I didn't think so, at least not yet, but somehow I had this odd confidence in her ability to come up with a solution. Whatever her idea was, it was bound to be original.